Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. It is a late week edition of the Wobcast. We are back on the regular schedule after a little bit of a weird week last week with the Vikings playing on Thursday night. The Vikings as a team, they're back on their normal schedule as well. They played on Thursday. They came in Friday for meetings and film sessions, off Saturday through Monday, practiced on Tuesday, and continue to practice throughout the week. They're back on their normal schedule. So with 10 days between games, the Vikings are preparing for their contest against the Chicago Bears on Sunday. We're going to take a deep dive into this Vikings-Bears matchup. To do so, we're going to take a look at some injuries, players you should be talking about that you're not. But later on in the Wobcast, we're going to welcome in a special guest, Lindsey Young, who we just hired to be a full-time writer for the Vikings. We'll get into over-unders and a fan question with her and take a quick look at the playoff picture in the AFC and the NFC. But first, let's talk about this Vikings roster and how it's shaping up for the game against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, we're in the late stages of the season, so injuries are a factor no matter what, but they've been particularly relevant for the Vikings because they went into that Arizona Cardinals game sans four defensive starters. What's the status of those four for the Bears game? Well, we don't know exactly. We'll know much more once Mike Zimmer meets with the media for a final time on Friday, and then once we get to the 90-minute mark before kickoff on Sunday, which is when teams are required to list their active players. But it might be a mix of good news and bad news when it comes to Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith, and Andrew Sendejo. It looks like Andrew Sendejo is going to be good to go. He said as much in the locker room earlier this week. Harrison Smith was limited in the early practices this week. Linval Joseph and Anthony Barr did not practice early in the week. Everson Griffin also did not practice early in the week. So stay tuned to Vikings.com. The injury report will be posted every day. Mike Zimmer's press conference on Friday, we'll get that up on the website. He'll have more information. So injuries will be a big talking point and storyline in this Vikings-Bears matchup leading all the way up to Sunday. Hopefully the Vikings can get some of those injured players back. Okay, a regular segment, player we should be talking about. This week, it's center Joe Berger, who's done a great job stepping in for an injured John Sullivan all season long. In fact, if you're familiar with Pro Football Focus, one of their writers and analysts, Sam Mudson, says that Berger is the NFL's most underrated player in the NFL this season, pointing out that his season-long grade at PFF is the same as Dallas's Travis Frederick, widely considered to be the best center in the NFL. Munson points out that Berger has allowed just one sack this season and 12 quarterback pressures while blocking in an offense that leads the NFL in seven-step drops and blocking for a quarterback who holds the ball longer than any quarterback in the NFL aside from Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. So given that as the backdrop and the fact that Berger has allowed just one sack, Pro Football Focus is saying Berger is one of the more underrated players in the NFL. In addition, Munson points out that when running behind or to either side of Berger, Adrian Peterson is averaging 4.8 yards per carry. PFF pointing out that Berger is a likely all-pro selection of the websites once the season is over, and they already named Berger to their Pro Football Focus Pro Bowl team. Lastly, I'm going to read a direct quote from Munson's article that speaks very highly of Berger. Munson writes, "It is very rare that a team can replace one injured Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber player with another, but that is precisely what the Vikings have been able to do in going from Sullivan to Berger and may even have found a slight upgrade. Berger is on pace to eclipse the best grade Sullivan has posted since his PFF All-Pro season of 2012 and should be firmly in the Pro Bowl discussion." Now, whether Berger actually makes the Pro Bowl or not, of course, only time will be able to tell us that, and it's probably unlikely, but it is interesting to note that Pro Football Focus and Sam Munson, who put a ton of time into analyzing players, they are pointing to Berger as one of the more underrated players in the NFL. Let's stick with an outside voice as we take a look at the Vikings and Bears matchup. To do that, we go to the NFL Network preview where former NFL running back Maurice Jones-Drew picks the Vikings to beat the Chicago Bears this weekend. And he picks the Vikings because he likes what Vikings running back Adrian Peterson should be able to do to Chicago's run defense.
So we are counting down the days till week 15 gets here with MJD, getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. Bears coming off of a close loss to the Washington Redskins, a missed Robbie Gould field goal at the end of the game, could have tied it up. Obviously, he misses, they lose. How do they get back on the winning track against the Minnesota Vikings?
No more is fool's gold. You can't miss those field goals.
Fool's gold. That's fool's what gold. We're calling
but
the,
not the G-O-L-D. Yeah.
G-O-U-L-D. I
there
see
it
what
is.
You did there.
See how I did that? We can't have that. That's 2 weeks in a row you've done this, Robbie. You are the reason you've been the only guy in Chicago, along with Matt Forte and Jay Cutler, because you make those field goals. You're the only one that can kick in Chicago in the Windy City. You have to start making these field goals. I mean, they're putting you in position to win games or keep them in the game. That's your only job you have to do. Make the field goals.
Yeah, you go back to the San Francisco 49ers, a game in overtime as well. So two straight tough losses for the Bears. If you are a Vikings fan, a tough loss to the Cardinals in a game, and not a lot of people gave them a chance of being in. Of course, they were till the very end. How do they get a win against Chicago?
You know, the Vikings have been in every game when AP touched the ball over 20 times. And even though they lost this game, it was a close game. And I felt like they had a chance of taking the OT if they would have just kicked the field goal and not tried to, you know, get every down in. And so continue to feed this young man. This is a young AP. This isn't no old 30-year-old.
I was going to say, you called him a young man.
This young man is out here running the ball like it's no tomorrow. He's doing a wonderful job. He leads the league right now in 268 carries. And Chicago's third worst in the NFL, allowing 4.6 yards a rush. Feed this young man.
So you think he's poised for a big game against the Bears?
I think he's hungry.
He's hungry. All right. Is he hungry enough to get a win?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's hungry enough to get a win. He looks like last week he was – 2 weeks ago he didn't eat. Last week he ate a little bit at the table.
That was like an appetizer.
Yeah, and this week I think it's time
main
for him
course.
To – yeah, he's going – you know, his eyes might be bigger than his stomach, but he's going to finish all his food.
He's going to feast on bear meat. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much. That's what Vikings do.
Okay. We'll find out that's true as we get ready for week 15.
All right. Thanks, MJD. It's not often I get to come back from a segment on that Maurice Jones-Drew is part of.
Former NFL running back Maurice Jones-Drew.
So I appreciate that, Maurice. And we appreciate your selection of the Vikings in this game.
Maurice appreciates you being appreciative, I'm sure.
I'm sure Maurice also appreciates the running backs in Chicago's backfield as well.
He should.
And it's been interesting to see what has kind of developed into. It's really become a two-headed monster where it used to be just the Matt Forte show.
Mm-hmm.
He's still half of it, but the other half is Jeremy Langford, who stepped in when Forte got hurt. Now they're basically splitting carries in the backfield, and it seems to be working for them. So that's threat number one, is those two combined.
And I think it's a good one because you remember when Matt Forte was injured, right?
I do. I remember the play he was injured on because I was standing right there.
Okay, you were filming it.
I was.
Did you get a good shot of it?
Not
sure.
One of us did.
It was a Harrison Smith hit to Matt Forte back in week 8. At that point, you know, Matt Forte was getting it going a little bit, but that happened right in the middle of the game, and that's when Jeremy Langford came in, and he had 12 carries for 46 yards in replacement of Matt Forte. And after that game, Langford's been in six games for the Bears, 551 total yards, 5 touchdowns, 19 catches. So a dual threat just like Matt Forte, no question. A two-headed attack at running back for the Chicago Bears. Matt Forte is still about as good as it comes when it comes to dual threats, but Jeremy Langford can step in for him, and I think that that putting Forte and Langford together as one of the three threats is very appropriate. It's a combo that the Vikings defense is going to have to contend with all game long on Sunday.
Obviously, a big weapon for the Bears' offense the past few years has been Martellus Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out for the past few weeks, might actually be out for the year, it's looking like. But Zach Miller has stepped in at tight end and played very well the past few weeks in his absence. So he's threat number two.
The Zach Miller band has been pretty good. Five catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown last week against the Redskins. Had no action really against us in week 8, but 6'4", 245 pounds. He's athletic, has good hands. He is a pass-catching tight end. In fact, his best play against the Redskins, he kind of ran an out and up route and got vertical on a linebacker, and Cutler found him down the right sidelines for a big gain. So Zach Miller, he can hurt you if you don't watch him. No Marty Bennett, but Zach Miller is no slouch either. In fact, I was chatting with Voice of the Vikings' Paul Allen yesterday when we were filming game plan in between segments, and I said, all due respect to Martellus Bennett, who maybe can do more things well, like blocking and in the run game and in the pass game, but when it comes to throwing and catching passes, Cutler to the tight end, I don't think there's a huge drop-off from Martellus Bennett to Zach Miller, and that's not a knock on Bennett. That's more praise for Zach Miller. I think that he's a guy you're going to have to watch.
For the third threat, we're going to look at Pernell McPhee. He was He was a threat we listed in week 8 when we played at Chicago. Got some pressure on Teddy. Teddy didn't take a lot of sacks, but he certainly got hit and was pressured quite a bit in that game. So made his presence felt in that game. He's probably going to be looking to do a similar thing this weekend.
Yeah, I think he's their best defensive player free agent signing from the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, a lot of times when some of those talented Baltimore Ravens would leave the Ravens and sign with another team, they wouldn't turn out to be as good with their new team as they were with the Ravens. Not the case with McPhee. I think he's as good or better now than he was with the Ravens. And look, John Fox is in his first year as head coach of the Bears. He's changing that defense scheme-wise and personnel-wise. So he doesn't have the personnel in all the spots that he wants, but this one he got right. This is a good one. McPhee is a good edge rusher. He's stout against the run, explosive in rushing the passer. If you need him to drop into coverage, he's good enough to be able to do that from time to time so you can keep some unpredictability. I really like McPhee a lot. They can move him all over the place, but I expect him to major on Sunday going against TJ Clemmings. I think that you know teams come in, look at the Vikings offensive line, and Clemmings is a guy you want to challenge because he's a rookie playing out at tackle. So that's a natural place to start when you want to challenge the opposing offensive line, and I think McPhee and Clemmings is going to be a battle to watch. We go from three threats to a new teammate for us here at the Vikings Entertainment Network and the Minnesota Vikings, and that is Lindsay Young, who was hired earlier in the week. She's a full-time writer for us, going to be writing about football, be in charge of our initiative when we start up our digital and social blogs and we launch our lifestyle written article line. Lindsay's going to be doing a bunch of that, but in the meantime, she's going to be writing about the football team. You may be familiar with her work because Lindsay has done some freelance stuff for us. She's written for BleacherReport.com. She's written for the Wolves and the Lynx. So you may have seen her work in the past, specifically in Vikings publications or on Vikings.com. She's a graduate from Northwestern in St. Paul, so we know that she's very well educated. We know that she knows her stuff about the Vikings, but we're going to prove that to you, the listeners, right now and bring Lindsay into the Wobcast. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Wobby.
You bet. Welcome to the Vikings. How's your first week gone?
Thank you. It's going well. Day 4 today, I think, so I'm still coming in the morning, so
yes,
we're going strong. No, it's been awesome just getting acclimated to Winter Park and mm-hmm. what that may be and just kind of getting to know everybody, and everybody here has been fantastic. Everybody has been super friendly and welcoming, and I've already gotten to kind of jump in and write some content, so it's been great.
I would think that the practice, the press conferences, going to community events, writing, all that stuff, that's not new to you, so that's easy. But what's the toughest part about your first week on the job with the Vikings? Not necessarily Vikings specific, but you know, a new job. What's
sure.
the toughest part of a new job?
Toughest part. Well, that is true. Like a lot of the stuff that I've been able to do with freelancing that helped to make the transition not so hard. I think actually it's just probably the smaller things of trying to remember people's names and mm-hmm. not getting lost in the building. Luckily I'm pretty near the restroom, so I can find that and make yep. it back to my office. And I now know how to get to the cafeteria and back. So, yeah, it took me like 3 days to find Craig's office though, but right. I forced myself to do that yesterday.
Our other writer, Craig Peters. Yeah. He's buried kind of in the back of the building. Yeah. We keep him hidden a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people would wish that I would be the hidden one and not him, but we do keep Craig hidden. Glad you found his office, but more importantly, glad you found the bathroom and the cafeteria.
Yeah, those are...
I don't know if there are two more important rooms in the building than those two rooms.
First day, I had to figure that out. Yeah. So.
All right, so you jump into the fray here in the middle of a late season push for the Vikings as we're trying to get to the postseason. So the first challenge that the team will face with you on board is the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You probably remember our Week 8 game at Soldier Field where we won
mm-hmm.
our first victory there since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
It took some late game heroics from Teddy Bridgewater. But as you look at this game, Vikings and Bears, with the Bears all but eliminated from playoff contention,
right?
And the Vikings very much in the thick of it. So the playoff situation aside, what are some of the things that you've been writing about or talking to players about in regard to this matchup?
You know, heading into this matchup, like, I don't think any game from here on out can be considered by any means a cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Teddy Bridgewater yesterday in his press conference was just talking about the fact that, you know, the Bears are only 5-8, but they've won several games on the road. I think 4 of their 5 wins have been on the road, and they've been losing some close games too.
Mm-hmm.
So their last few games have kind of been lost in the last few plays. So I think that their record may be a little bit deceiving, and I think it's going to be challenging. But I also think there's been a lot of like high energy in the locker room and whatnot, and a lot of momentum. You know, even though the Vikings ended up losing that game in Arizona, I think there were a lot of good things that came out of that game. You know, Bridgewater had a huge game passing yards, and just a lot of, I think that maybe the morale for fans was down with having some of our starting players out. But the Vikings showed that they can play scrappy ball.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really encouraging heading into Chicago. So I think the team morale has seemed really high. I think that, you know, if they can get a good mix of both passing and rushing, you know, the Bears have a pretty good passing defense, number two, but number 26 in rushing defense. So if they can get both sides of the ball going, I think that'll be good.
Yeah, and 26 in rushing defense would tell you that Adrian and the running game should be able to get going, and we all know that when that happens, it's a lot easier for Teddy in the passing game to get going. I do think this is an opportunity for the passing game to continue off the momentum that they generated against the Cardinals. Teddy had a career-high passing yards in that game, 335. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't think the Bears can stop the pass. I think they can, but I just think that with the way each team's season is going, that favors the Vikings right now. And the Bears aren't mathematically eliminated, so I don't expect that they're going to mail this one in. And they are 4-2 on the road, as you said earlier. But I think if you can jump up early on this team with Jay Cutler and with the Bears being on the road and being 5-8, I think if you can jump up early on them, you know, you have a very good chance to get a victory here, which would be huge for the Vikings because there are playoff clinching scenarios coming up for the Vikings this week. If what happens on Thursday night is good for us, which has to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers loss. If that happens, we can clinch on Sunday. Do you think the playoffs and the clinching scenarios and the talk of the postseason, which is, you know, talk of the postseason with three regular season games to go, is antithetical to how coaches want it to go for their players? They want their players to focus on it one game at a time. Do you think all the talk of the playoffs is too much of a distraction for this team, or do you think they are focused on the Bears?
I don't know. I feel like it's good motivation for them to be thinking about, because I think there's a playoff atmosphere around this team right now because each game is so important. Yeah. A win on Sunday, like you just said, would be huge. And so I think they are focusing on one game at a time, but at the same time, it holds that like postseason intensity, if you will. So I don't think it's too much of a distraction. I have noticed that with a lot of media questions and whatnot directed to the team, whether that be to coaches or to players, that they do kind of turn the attention back to this week. And it seems like they're really well focused for Chicago and not looking too far ahead, at the same time understanding the implications though.
Alshon Jeffrey, their best skill position player over there in Chicago, had over 100 yards and a touchdown last week, had a touchdown against us in week 8. Obviously, everyone looks at the matchup with him and Xavier Rhodes, but depending on where Alshon matches up and what Mike Zimmer wants to do, it might be Terrence Newman who's on Alshon Jeffrey from time to time. Or if Alshon is in the slot, it could be Captain Munnerlyn on Alshon Jeffrey. So when you look at Jeffrey's impact in this game, what's like, you know, what's the number where it's like, you know what, if we held him to this number, I think that's going to be okay in terms of yards. Obviously, you want it to be zero touchdowns, but, is it 80 yards would be okay against Alshon Jeffrey? Is it lower than that? Is it higher than that? What kind of impact do you think he has on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, obviously he had a huge impact against us in the last game, like you said, and hoping he can match up most consistently against Rhodes. Obviously, size-wise, he matches up the best with him. You know, he's such a big offensive threat. I would say if you can hold him to 70 yards or under, you're probably doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And like you said, obviously just keeping him out of the end zone is the most important. But yeah, I think that would be a small victory in itself to keep him under those yards, because we know how dangerous he can be across the board, but he's been, you know, a pretty big deal against us recently.
If you're familiar with Pro Football Focus, they're in the process right now of like their postseason all pro teams or Pro Bowl teams. Like if they could name the Pro Bowl teams, this is who would be on it. And We talked earlier in this edition of the Wobcast about their evaluation of Joe Berger, which was very high.
Yep.
If you look at last week's game, the Bears' interior defensive line had its way with the Redskins' interior offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really important matchup in this game. And so Joe Berger, who has done a great job filling in for John Sullivan this season, has a huge matchup, I think, with some of the Bears' interior defenders. You know, watching from where you've been watching, the offensive line has kind of been looked at as a group that, you know, they need to play better, they need to improve. But don't you think, all things considered, being where the Vikings are right now is a testament to guys like Joe Berger, who's really stepped up, to a guy like Mike Harris, who's playing out of position, to a guy like Matt Khalil, who's much maligned last year but has had a much better season this season. You know, you got to give that line somewhat credit for the way they've played, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've been a fan of Joe Berger for most of this season. I think in the situation that he was in, didn't really have a choice, but he's done an excellent job, I think, starting. And really across the line, you know, or across the board, it does start with the offensive line. And on Sunday too, I mean, they played pretty well in Arizona, and I think that that showed in the amount of time that Bridgewater had to throw and blocking for Adrian and things like that. So, but I think that they've done a pretty good job. And even when you go back and look at games where they've struggled more, it hasn't, for the most part, been any one guy that you can really blame it on. There have been, you know, guys here and there that have had up and down games. But like you said, there are players that are starting at positions that aren't their natural positions, or rookies that are starting that weren't originally slated to do that. And I think that the fact that we've been able to have a consistent line from the beginning has been beneficial too.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to keep you here, and we're going to keep putting you to work, okay? So we have a regular segment in the late week episode of the Wobcast where we take a fan question. So producer Nate Vaughn has the fan question. He's going to propose it to both of us. We're both going to answer it and talk it through, okay?
Sounds good.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
The fan question is from Keithan. Keithan wants to know, when we win the coin flip, Coach Zimmer usually counts on our strong defense and defers to take the second half kickoff. However, it seems we play best with a lead when we can pound the ball and not have to fling it around in catch-up mode. Wouldn't it make sense to actually take the ball first and try for the early lead so we don't end up in catch-up mode?
Totally get where he's coming from. Because,
that's a good question.
Yeah, the Vikings are a team that's constructed. Well, I mean, you want to construct your team to be able to win a lot of different ways.
Right.
But you know, in an ideal world, the Vikings have a lead and they're milking the clock with Adrian in the running game.
Yep.
But it's kind of counterintuitive how it actually works if you look at the numbers. Because on average, drives in the NFL that start at your own 20-yard line.
Right.
17% of those drives end up in touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So really, when you think about it, you have a better chance to score if you kick off first, force the other team to punt, and then after a punt, you're starting usually at the 30 or the 40 yard line as opposed to the 20. So actually, if your defense can get off the field after only allowing 0, 1, 2, or 3 first downs, like the other team isn't driving into your territory, you're probably going to have better starting field position if you kick off first. I know that's counterintuitive, but that's kind of how it works. So that's one way I look at it, where it's actually going to give you a better shot to score first if you kick off first. But the whole what do you do after winning a coin toss question is an interesting one in the NFL, because different teams like to do it different ways.
Right.
The Patriots are perhaps most notorious for their style. They always defer, like no matter what, but other people feel differently about it.
I'm a believer in deferring. I like when I think there's more momentum if you're able to send your defense out and stop the other team from scoring immediately. I just think that gives the team so much more momentum. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you can start with the ball and may not score anyway. You're starting from way back in the field. And I just think that it gives you more of an advantage when you can start the second half with the ball, because either way you look at it, if you're the last ones to score in the first half, then you have the opportunity to get the ball again and maybe make it a second score. If the other team scores last in the first half, you get to come in and combat them right away. So, and I know that people talk a lot about Belichick, that's kind of the way that he always does it and maybe kind of got that trend going. But I do feel like it's more of a trend now than it used to be. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just my perception of it. But it seems like there are quite a few teams who will choose to defer.
Yeah. And I think the last point on this too is, and Belichick and the Patriots probably had this going for them for a long time. And I still think, you know, I guess we'd have to look and see what the numbers are. Do most teams defer or do they elect to receive? But if you know you're always going to defer, but you also know that most teams elect to take the ball.
Sure.
Now, you know, going into the game, your defense knows it's going to be on the field first. And there's something That's to be true. Said for knowing that your kickoff team has to be ready to go right away and your defense has to be ready to go right away.
That's true.
Obviously, you want everyone to be ready to go right away. But if you know that's happening, you know, there's something to be said for that. That continuity and for knowing that in a league where so much is unknown, it's, you know, there's probably some advantage to knowing what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to over-unders. Lindsay, we do this every late week edition of the Wobcast 2. Nate Vaughn presents three stats related to the upcoming game, and I try to guess whether what happens in the game is going to be over or under that stat. Okay. You want to play?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
There's a very good chance you'll do better than I do because I'm below 500 for the season.
Okay. So, perfect.
Nate's going to take it away.
All right. Over-unders it is. The first over-under we're going to take a look at is passing yards for your favorite quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. Last week had his season high total of 335 passing yards versus a tough Arizona defense. The Bears, as you guys talked about, are second in the NFL in passing yards allowed. Was held under 200 yards passing at Chicago, even though he kind of led the team to victory late. If we put the over-under at 210.5 passing yards, will he be over or under that total? What do you think, Lindsay?
Oh, that's a tough one, but I am going to go with over this week. I think coming out of Arizona, he's got that momentum. I think they really had some good ball movement, and I'm going to hope that that carries over and go with over.
I'm over, too, on this. I think with Tracy Porter and Kyle Fuller, they have, and Kyle Fuller, a young up-and-coming guy, and Tracy Porter, you got your veteran guy. They're playing with with a rookie safety and a backup safety. Antrell Roll is not playing. I think there are things you can do to Tracy Porter that you didn't used to be able to do, but now you can because he's in the later stages of his career. I think this is a game where we can get rolling in the passing game. So long as it's not like a blizzard and, you know, 30-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday.
Absolutely.
I'm over on this, and I think this is a big yardage game for our offense, for both Adrian and for Teddy.
We'll get to the weather in a second, Wobby.
That was a great segue.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
But before that, we'll look at total turnovers in the game. Both teams are below the NFL average in turnovers lost in a good way. The average team has 18.8 turnovers for the season so far. Both teams below that, so that's good on them for that. Last week, the Vikings were -3 in turnover differential. The Bears were even with Washington, both losing one turnover. So will there be more or less than 2.5 turnovers in this game?
I'm going to say over. I'm over on this. I think that the Vikings defense is playing well right now. They're playing at home in the middle of a playoff push, and we will hopefully have one or two, if not all of our injured defensive starters back. I think that's going to give us a big advantage. There's a little bit of shuffling going on with the offensive line. And I know the Bears did a good job of avoiding our pass rush last time in week 8 with the quick passing game, so I'm sure we're going to see some of that, but we did a good job against the quick passing game. So I see an interception of Jay Cutler coming, and I see at least a forced fumble or two coming for our defense. Hopefully we don't contribute to this and turn the ball over ourselves, but it's been a long time since we've gone through an entire game without a turnover. So I think the odds favor the over in this one.
You know, I'm worried that we're going to have all the same answers here, but I'm also going to go with over for this one. Hopefully,
that's a bad sign because Wobby hasn't been doing too well.
Hopefully, I'm trying to come up with my answers before he answers so that I can stick with it. I think hopefully over with the Bears having more of those turnovers, but I was going to say the same thing. I think Jay Cutler is due for an interception. He's been playing a lot smarter ball this year, but I do think that he'll throw an interception on Sunday, maybe to Terrence Newman. I'll even make that prediction. Over.
All right. Over and one of those picks to Terrence Newman. I've made a note of that. All right. Finally, as we hinted, a weather question. Let's look at the temperature at kickoff. I took the liberty of looking ahead Vikings.com has learned that the high is projected to be 39 degrees at kickoff. So will the temperature at kickoff be over or under 38.5? We got to keep them all at 0.5. So there's a definite over under.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we don't want any pushes. There can be no ties. I'm under on this. It's December. It's the middle of December, and we're in Minnesota. There's no reason it should be above 38.5 degrees on Sunday at kickoff. Okay, so now easy for me to say because I'm going to be in the radio booth, so I'll be nice and comfortable. Lindsay, you'll be in the press box. You'll be nice and comfortable.
Yes.
Nate is going to be trudging away on the field, so he's going to be freezing. He hates my answer for this.
So he's hoping for over.
He's hoping for over, yeah. And given your performance in the last guess, I'm guessing you're going to have some sort of prediction on the wind direction as well. I'm under on this. Lindsay, what say you?
I'm under as well. That just seems way too high. I know we've been having really warm weather, and maybe it's because I've been freezing all day long today, but I think that it's going to be in the low 30s. I just can't see it being that close to 40 at kickoff, but maybe the sun will be out and I'll be wrong.
All right, so some common choices, both saying over 210.5 passing yards for Teddy, over 2.5 total turnovers in the game, and under 38.5 degrees at kickoff.
Let's make a passing yards prediction.
Okay, yeah, you want to do that, don't you? You got a specific number in mind. I guess we're gonna have to take Lindsay to Vegas with us if she's going to be right.
I actually don't have a number in mind yet. I just threw that out there because I like predictions.
Let us know by the end of the week so we can write it down.
Okay.
Nostradamus over there. All right, Lindsay, thanks for joining us. Your Wobcast debut, you did a great job.
Thanks, Wobby. Appreciate it.
See ya. Before we go, let's take a quick look at the playoff picture. We'll start in the AFC. The Patriots, folks, are your number one seed in the AFC at 11-2. Bengals and Broncos chasing them at 10-3 in the 2 and 3 position. The team, though, that I want to talk about is actually a team that's not in the playoffs right now, Nate Vaughn. We talked last week about the Kansas City Chiefs. They are currently in the playoffs at 8-5. They've won 7 straight. This week, though, the Pittsburgh Steelers, another team that's hot, but it's unbelievable right now. If the playoffs started today, Nate, they would not be in the playoffs, which is hard to imagine because when we sit in the studio and talk about some of the teams that we think are the best in the NFL, the Steelers are regularly in that discussion, yet right now they're not in the playoffs. They've won 4 of their last 5. They beat the Arizona Cardinals in week 6. They scored 30 points on that Seahawks defense in week 12. They are 8-5, but right now not in the playoffs. When you think of the Steelers, don't you think playoff team?
I do, and they've been there so many of the past years, and this is going to be a big game for them this weekend against the Denver Broncos. I don't know if it's necessarily a make-or-break game, but, I mean, if why not play a playoff team to show that you belong in the playoffs?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we thought has been good about the Vikings' schedule down the stretch, playing the Seahawks and the Cardinals and the Bears and the Giants and the Packers, is you want to be a team that gets to the playoffs and wins in the playoffs. Well, why not test yourself in the regular season at the end of the season when you've already accumulated a bunch of wins earlier to be in good playoff positioning? But the one good thing that the Steelers have going, here's the situation in the AFC. The Chiefs are 8-5 and have a wild card spot. The Jets are 8-5 and have a wild card spot. The Steelers are 8-5 and are on the outside looking in. But if all three of those teams win out, the Steelers are in and the Jets are out because of how the tie-breaking procedure goes. So the Steelers do control their own destiny. That's a positive thing for them. Okay, we go to the NFC. Now, by the time most of you are listening to this, you will already know the outcome of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-St. Louis Rams game. They play on Thursday night. The reason that's an important game in Vikings Nation is because in order to clinch a playoff berth this weekend, Vikings fans, not only do the Vikings have to win, but you need Tampa Bay to lose, as well as a couple of other teams to lose. But you can't clinch if the Buccaneers beat the Rams. So take a look at what happened in that game. If the Buccaneers lost that game, folks, your Vikings squad has a chance to clinch a playoff berth this weekend. But when I look at the NFC, you see an undefeated team in the Carolina Panthers. They're the first seed. The Cardinals are chasing them at 11-2. Probably won't be able to catch them. But it's a jam-packed crowd after that with the Packers, Redskins, Seahawks, and Vikings currently in, but the Bucks, Falcons, Eagles, Giants all fighting for playoff positioning. I think the interesting angle here, we talked about the Steelers being 8-5 but not in the playoffs right now. The interesting angle here in the NFC, Nate, I think is the NFC East, where right now the Redskins lead that division at 6-7, but the Eagles and Giants are also 6-7. So it's a logjam in the NFC East. The team to watch here, in my opinion, Nate, is the Philadelphia Eagles, because they, like the Steelers, control their own destiny. They have games against both Washington and the Giants to close the season. And I just think that they're a team right now that, even though they're not in, they kind of control their own destiny. When you take a look at that NFC East race, what do you see?
I think you're onto something with the Eagles there. A lot of people talking about the stuff going on off the field with that organization, with DeMarco Murray and Chip mm-hmm. Kelly and all that stuff. But nobody's really talking about what they're doing on the field. And what they're doing on the field can be pretty explosive and pretty impressive any given week. So knowing that they control their own destiny, that's got to be a scary thing for, well, for us, frankly, for any wild card team and for teams in the NFC East.
Yeah. And you know, those are obviously big games for each of the teams the Eagles play, Washington and the Giants. But the reason it's key for the Eagles is because they play both of those teams. You know, they have two division games remaining. So, I think that even though they're not in right now, the Eagles are in a good spot there to make a late season push and get in. Speaking of Philadelphia and the Giants, I think, Nate, that's likely the Week 17 flexed game into Sunday Night Football. Two huge markets out east, and the NFC East may be on the line. That's exactly what NBC wants when it flexes a game to Sunday night. But the Vikings-Packers game, I think, is a good shot to be your 3:25 game, the Fox game of the week in Week 17. So don't adhere to your schedules too much, Vikings fans. You've already had one game flexed to Sunday night against the Giants. You may have another one flexed to 3:25 against the Packers.
The NFL, once again, doing a great job making the schedule, at least when it comes to Week 17, because you have those two games. You also have Arizona and Seattle facing each other the last week of the season, too.
That's a cool game.
Those three games alone are definitely going to mean quite a bit to the playoff positioning.
Yep, no doubt about it. Okay, teams, Vikings fans, for you to root for this weekend, aside from the purple, of course you want the Vikings to beat the Chicago Bears, but we'll give you three other teams that you're cheering for this weekend. Vikings fans, you're cheering for the Buffalo Bills. They are at the Washington Redskins. You're also cheering for the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Vikings fans, this is your rare chance to cheer for a team that's undefeated. You want the Panthers to beat the Giants. Here is why you want the Bills to beat the Redskins and the Panthers to beat the Giants. When you look at Washington and New York, and then you look at the top four most likely clinching scenarios for the Vikings this week, you need both Washington and New York to lose in conjunction with an Atlanta loss, a Tampa Bay loss, and a Vikings win. So basically, Vikings fans, you're cheering against the NFC East this weekend, as well as for the Minnesota Vikings. Another team to cheer for, the Cleveland Browns. They are at the Seattle Seahawks, Nate, and obviously that's a pretty big mismatch when you look at it, but they do have Johnny Manziel going. You never know what can happen when Johnny Manziel is going. And the reason, of course, you want Seattle to win is because Seattle is the fifth seed. We are the sixth seed. So in the event that you don't win the division and you're a wild card team, it is much more advantageous to be the five seed and play at the NFC East than be the sixth seed and play at Green Bay, obviously. So since Seattle beat us, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So we need to finish a game ahead of Seattle if we want that five seed instead of the six seed. So obviously we're cheering against whoever Seattle plays. Here's the problem with that. This is who Seattle plays: Cleveland, St. Louis, and then they're at Arizona. And the problem with the Arizona game, of course, is they may not have anywhere to go.
They could be resting
everyone.
So
maybe they're resting everyone. So, you know, Seattle's going to be a tough team to leapfrog in the standings. But if they lose this week against the Cleveland Browns, we may have a shot. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We thank you for joining us and for listening. We thank Lindsay Young for joining us as a guest, and I'm sure she'll make many more appearances on the Wobcast in the future. We're happy to have her aboard. Vikings and Bears, Sunday at noon. Catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network, where our guy, Paul Allen, will have the play-by-play with Pete Bursich and Greg Coleman. And then stay tuned to Vikings.com after the game for post-game coverage. And then early next week, as we start looking at a big Sunday night football game for the Vikings against the New York Giants next week. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll talk to you all early next week. So-